When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the 18. That makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, downloaded Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
That's right, it's Rewind to Raw. We can only start this properly with that song that's in my head for the next however many hours. Usually it's stuck in my head for a good 12 hours after the show.
A song that defines us, really, at this point.
Yeah. Well, Wei, we have lots to discuss. Welcome to all the YouTubers out there. You're missing out on the fun.
We already had a lot to discuss.
We went through the Rewind to Raw weather report.
Oh boy, did we. Yeah, yep. It's a cold day in Toronto. Those of you coming up for Elimination Chamber, sell your tickets. Just do
terrible
not.
Road trip idea. Skip this one. Watch it at home. Be way better than coming to Toronto. It's terrible. Yes, but also in the news, going through Gran Hamada, who just passed away at the age of 74. Also giving our thoughts on Vengeance Day and a few more thoughts on Grand Slam, which Wei covered over the weekend with Kate from Montreal. John Cena going to Europe. It's John Cena's European vacation. And then AEW booking an intriguing venue in Boston, Massachusetts. Conor McGregor news, Fantastica Mania. All of that can be found on the XL edition of Rewind to Raw. All those on board at the Post Wrestling Cafe get the show live every Monday night. You get the news of the day and then your feedback and questions at the end. But that's not all, because, folks, coming up on Tuesday, man, we're giving you a 1-2 punch. We're talking Captain America, Brave New World from our brave co-hosts, W.H. Park and Rich Fan, coming together to chat about Captain America 4, starring Anthony Mackie. Is he going to carry this torch away? Is he going to lead Marvel and Disney to a profitable quarter?
I hear it's the number one movie at the box office this weekend, but it's like many recent Marvel releases, one that I think has been met with mixed opinions and maybe controversy. So I'm very curious.
Oh, what's the controversy?
That it's not the best Marvel movie.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, it might be at least critically rated more towards the bottom of it. But the only critics that really matter are W.H. Park and Rich Fan. So
they will give you their official judgment on Captain America, Brave New World, and if you should brave the cold weather to go watch this film, which I will not be, to be perfectly honest. But what I did do over this weekend is I sat down for a three-hour edition of a franchise that is often known for writing scripts till the last minute, all under the brain trust of one man that has controlled this industry for the last 50 years. I'm talking about SNL 50, which went down on Sunday night, and I will be getting together with Braden Harrington, the Pete Davidson of our universe, and Jordan Goodman. I don't know what Jordan Goodman, he's
what
like
does Paul. He bring to the table here?
I was going to go with Paul Rudd. Where did this come from?
From Jordan Goodman. This is
wow,
what he does bring
look at
to
this.
The table.
Even spelt my name right. Look at that. I love it. That is coming up on Tuesday. I'm actually really excited to do this show.
Very excited to hear you guys talk about SNL, because you won't just be talking about these 3 hours. You'll be talking about the entire 50 years.
We're going to give our thoughts, the highs and the lows of the 3-hour special and the whole weekend, because there was like a ton of, like, the amount of coverage that this show got was insane. It was, they just carpet bombed the place with articles, interviews, documentaries, the concert they did on Friday night, all in the lead up to this, which is probably like the toughest ticket imaginable to get to. Like, this is a 300. Have you ever been to a
toughest ticket? Hold on a second. Wasn't this just all celebrities
that's why it was the toughest ticket to get way, because even like there were like 300 people, and you can imagine what the guest list of people that celebrities that wanted to get into this that could not get into it. They had to open up the next studio for it. Like, imagine the egos that you had to massage for this. Were
these celebrities actually actively asking to attend, or were they?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, courted and invited.
Absolutely, there was a demand. Like, big people got turned down for this.
You're telling me Paul McCartney was like knocking on the door, trying to, like, you know, get on Ticketmaster and be like, "Okay, can I get a ticket for this?"
This was stated many times. Like, this was like, wow, a year out that this was going to be an incredibly, like, the people who had to do the seating chart for this and the amount of people they would have to turn down was insane. But yes, this all went down on Saturday, and Braden, Jordan, and I were going to review the Sunday night edition of Saturday Night Live, and we will go through our top 5 sketches of all time, top 5 favorite players of all time, and our top 5 favorite hosts of all time, and maybe some spin-off topics as well. We will see where the conversation leads us. Looking forward to this. That will be out on both the Post Wrestling Cafe and the Poison Rana Patreon as well. So support us both, and the show will be dropping Tuesday early evening on both feeds. So looking forward to that. Also this week, Way and I will be getting together for Rewind Away number 176. And what is on the docket this week?
We are going to be talking about NXT TakeOver New Orleans. New Orleans, the home of the Super Bowl.
The home of SmackDown on Friday.
The home of everything, really. Beignets, Café du Monde.
We went twice to New Orleans.
Yes,
that,
we did.
That brief time, yeah.
Great city.
I love New Orleans. Maybe my favorite city of the WrestleMania host cities that we have gone to.
WrestleMania next year? Is that right?
I mean, that's the word, not official. But they are in New Orleans this week, so I mean, we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, no, on this particular show, we are talking about Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa.
That's right. Yes, that is the headliner on this particular show. An unsanctioned match. My, how things have changed, mm-hmm. Which we'll be talking about on Raw tonight. But yes, this it features Gargano and Ciampa. And also on the show, we have Andrade Cien Almas versus Aleister Black. Match we could very well be seeing.
Very interesting.
No time flat. Yeah, very the battle of future AEW performers. A ladder match to crown the first men's North American champion. And then Shayna Baszler challenging Ember Moon for the NXT Women's Championship among them, and the voice of Mauro Ranallo with Percy Watson and Nigel McGuinness.
Very interesting. Wow. All of that feels like a decade ago, but it was only 7 years, almost a decade. Jesus.
A long time. So that's going to be Rewind Away this coming Thursday. Also, you can check out the NWA podcast that dropped on Sunday night, coming in at a cool 5.5 hours. So do check that out.
I've listened to most of it already.
That's more than double the length, or it's almost double the length of TakeOver New Orleans.
A great way to shovel snow on Family Day in Canada. Yeah.
I mean, and they outdid Saturday Night Live. Even with the red carpet special, these guys went longer. Well, the real sketch performers here, Chris, Andrew, Nate, and of course, Two-Way Ray.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about All-Way Eddie Murphy, Scared Straight. Anyway, tune in. Okay. Tune in on Tuesday. On to Raw we go from the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. WrestleTix, last number, 14,054. On the broadcast announcing 15,280. I mean, it's just a ridiculous amount. Amazing. Wow. That they are doing. So this was a show that we certainly got the the feel of this transfer window, at least I did for the first time, on top of the fact that there was obviously Rhea Ripley is back in Australia, so she was off this show.
For her honeymoon.
For her honeymoon, yes.
And with her husband, who unfortunately rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
Ahead of that 13-minute match with Kazuchika Okada, which is crazy to find out.
And also no CM Punk on this show either. So a bit less of the star power on this show, but this was all built around the final Elimination Chamber qualifiers. And, man, we had to really dig deep. We had to get some extra A-list talent, okay? Who was left after SNL snatched up everybody on Sunday night? Well, folks, don't ever underestimate TKO, because arriving with AJ Styles, Daytona 500 winner William Byron with his custom championship right off his big win on Sunday afternoon.
Did you watch any of the Daytona 500?
Dude, it was the Daytona 1000. I watched it and I watched
twice.
The second time. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I rewound it, so I got to watch the race in reverse.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
This was awesome. Yeah.
I have no idea who this is, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't slightly curious these days in actually watching a bit of NASCAR. My two and a half year old loves Pixar cars.
Okay.
And like, it's very much based on NASCAR, so like, I wanted to put it on for him actually.
Then we go to Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, and Michael Cole, just trying to make some nice conversation at the beginning, mentions that Pat is all refreshed after getting out of the country for a couple of days, and he's all refreshed. And Pat McAfee, well, I was actually in Puerto Rico, Michael. That's not out of the country. You could do your geography. Tony Hinchcliffe. Yeah. And then Sami Zayn comes out to start the show. You have never seen a man sell the effects of a neck injury walking to a ring more than Sami Zayn here with his plaid button-up shirt. And he says that there have never been two names tied together more throughout their careers than him and Kevin Owens. We've done it all together. There have been a lot of betrayals and a lot of forgiving and forgetting along the way, but not this time. This is the line has been crossed, because this time you tried to end my career, but you didn't get the job done.
I'm pretty sure he's tried to end his career all those other times too.
This was a package pile driver way. This wasn't a apron bomb.
I'm pretty sure he's package pile driven.
He's package pile driven this guy on a ladder multiple times. So he says his neck is not 100%, but he still wants to fight him in Toronto. So out comes Adam Pearce. Says, Sammy, everyone has said no to this, including the board. I'm sure the board of directors have
was
all
Dwayne weighing in on this?
I'm sure they have all said no to this. The medical team won't clear him. So then, Adam! Sammy yells. And then, how do we make sense of this way? Adam, how long have we known each other? We go back a long way. Do you remember when you were ROH Booker, when you replaced Gabe in 2008? I do. He says, we've known each other a long time, and I'm not taking no for an answer, and I won't leave this ring until you give me that match. Pierce then goes to explain that I can't sanction it. And you know what that means? That means whatever Kevin Owens does, I can't stop it. There's no referees to enforce the rules. We wash our hands of it legally. And it might be the last match of your career, Sammy. The crowd's chanting, let them fight. They don't care if this guy gets paralyzed. They just want a match. And Zayn, going against his word, he leaves this ring without getting the match promised. He goes right up to Pierce, and he explains that also means I can do anything to Kevin, and you can't stop it. So the match is happening, but it's unsanctioned.
Yeah. So I guess ultimately what we learn from these situations is that
they don't give a shit about the talent.
I mean, Adam, listen, first of all, I think this is another great example of how much I like Adam Pearce in this role. He has just enough charisma to justify having like a pretty significant role on this television show, but he never ever overshadows the talents that he's in a scene with. And in this case, he served a great canvas for Zayn to do his thing. Great fire through this entire segment. You know, it's a very tough job if you're Sami Zayn to try to like even in the WWE at this point, we've seen these two turning on each other so much that it's getting harder and harder to convince us that this time is different. But I also feel like these two are more beloved than ever. And I think we can all kind of forgive maybe actually believing that this time might actually be different, because we ultimately just want to see this match between the two, especially in an unsanctioned setting where, you know, it's an attractive setting for these two. Like, maybe just even forgetting that it's taking place in Canada in a stadium, like the biggest venue that they've ever wrestled in Canada. So that's significant. Maybe the coldest weather they'll ever wrestle in Canada by that point as well. But knowing what they're willing to do to each other, in their careers, you know, gives me a lot of hope that at a stadium level, they're probably going to really destroy each other. So I'm looking forward to that. But we also do learn that, you know, Adam Pearce, for all the bravado he kind of puts up in trying to resist these guys, he is ultimately a bit of a pushover when it comes to this job. You know, all you have to do is just like give him a really passionate speech and you'll probably get your pay-per-view match.
Yeah, you might die, but as long as we're not held liable, we're all for it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's why doesn't he do that for any dangerous match? You know, they did introduce like the mention of the board of directors. Do you think we could ever possibly get an on-camera representation of the board, and perhaps our COO of TKO could come out to explain the other side of things, that you are one of our favorite commodities, Sammy?
Well, I really like Adam Pearce. I like Nick Aldis, but if I would have anybody replace them, it would be with Mark Shapiro. Yeah,
100%. So there you go. That's happening in Toronto. Do you think there's any chance? Like, typically, like historically, when they would do like the lights out match, and AEW has followed suit here. Like, that's the last match of the night where they would do like the unsanctioned match. It's like the show has ended. The contractual matches that we oversee are done. And now this is like your unofficial match that goes at the end of the show. And I guess the counter to that would be the visual you want at the end of the night, which you could certainly argue should be Cena. But this is, to many people, this is going to be the main event of the show.
I would debate that myself, John, because Cena is such a focal point of the promotion of this, and because of the fact that it is special, and because the show is called Elimination Chamber, I don't see them ending the show with anything but that.
I think this is going to be a big match, though, to the audience. Like, oh, yeah. I think like this could be like the most heated match of the show. It's possible. Yeah.
Does anybody? How would you feel if either of them came out in a Leafs jersey? Is that permissible? Or is that just kind of like, you know, yeah, kind of.
That'd be exceptional pandering.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
We had the Judgment Day in the
Not clubhouse. To mention, like, it would probably piss everybody in Quebec off, I think.
Yeah, probably. You know what we have not talked about enough is the fact that there is, like a pervasive trend among, like, Canadian sports that are just booing, like the American anthem, and not that they're going to do the national anthem or anything here, but I am curious if like if any of that kind of like bleeds through.
Maybe that's why they put two Canadians against each other. But there's a hell of a heel promo in Kevin Owens if you wanted to call it.
Honestly, like I wouldn't expect it in like the WWE setting, but like a Cody Rhodes style.
Oh, okay. Sorry, go on, please.
I'm just saying, like, a Cody Rhodes type of character that's so American-based, like, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that you'd get one of those, like, different type of reactions that I would not have expected, like, 3 months ago.
Yeah, I don't think so, John, because Cody, again, Captain America, you can represent America without necessarily representing the ruling government, you know, and those sort of reactions to the anthem is more of a protest against the current government, of which Cody has never really kind of, you know, indicated any sort of actual support of.
Maybe Toronto's going to demand he disclose who he voted for.
Maybe. Yeah. Support for this podcast comes from NordVPN. Many of our listeners already use Nord to access cheaper prices to AEW pay-per-views or ad-free international versions of WWE programming. But the benefits of a VPN go beyond streaming, especially as online criminal tactics are becoming increasingly sophisticated. One threat that's been on the rise is SIM swapping, where just a bit of your personal info can help criminals impersonate you to your cell provider and virtually transfer your SIM card to their phone. Using a trusted VPN like Nord, especially when using public Wi-Fi, helps keep your data safe from prying eyes on the same network. Over at nordvpn.com/postwrestling, you can sign up for a 2-year plan for just a few dollars per month and get 4 bonus months with our link. Again, nordvpn.com/postwrestling. Try it with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Stay safe and enjoy all the benefits of a secure internet with NordVPN.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Plus, 2 editions of Rewind Away. We will revisit Bret Hart's heel run in the WWF NXT TakeOver New Orleans from 2018. Plus, we have coverage of AEW Grand Slam Australia, New Beginning in Osaka, an Ask Away, Ask Us Anything mailbag show, and of course, Captain America 4 and Collision Course every single Saturday night. All that and more at postwrestlingcafe.com.
There's a Judgment Day segment in the back. Liv has been impressed with Dominic the last couple of days, or the last couple of weeks, for him stepping up. And Dom wishes that Balor would see it that way. Balor is also like on the couch. He can hear all of this and wants to have a new member in the group that they keep pushing. And Balor joins and notes that after tonight, we'll have 3 members at the Elimination Chamber when I beat Rollins. Liv's already in the chamber, and Raquel, it would be embarrassing if you didn't beat Roxanne Perez tonight, and then tells Dominic, no new members. So that almost guarantees we're getting a new member at some point. And yes.
We wait to see who it could be. Yeah.
iShow Speed did a stream reflecting on the Royal Rumble spot, noting that he had the worst headache the day after and thought he was going to die, Pat McAfee conveyed to us. So we're basically playing up that this man suffered a concussion right afterwards, is from his own words.
At least that's how he's selling it. I mean, who knows at this point, you know, what his true injuries were. But seems to me like it's definitely hinting towards more involvement from him. Maybe a match against Braun Breaker, which would be
maybe they teased the match in that still shot right there. Way maybe that's what we're going to be getting. Okay,
CM Punk and iShow Speed, perhaps. Yeah, but I think that's been sort of the discussion anyway. I could certainly see him being involved at WrestleMania.
Dominic Mysterio against AJ Styles. This is AJ's first match on Raw in 2 years. Man, does time fly.
Yeah.
Been waiting so long to see AJ on Raw, the Monday show, not Friday.
I guess it means he's been on Friday for two years, yeah.
At one point, Michael Cole is asked by Pat, man, how old is AJ Styles? And Cole is like somewhat hesitant, is like, he's 47. And that's like, wow. Pat then calls it the total nonstop action dropkick that Styles executes on Dominic.
Mm-hmm. Which is not a bad term anymore. In fact, now it's a form of synergy, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah. The Phenomenal Forum gets stopped by Carlito, and then Dominic gets control, goes for the 3 Amigos, hits a 619, but misses the frog splash, and AJ comes back, knocks Carlito off the apron, rolls up Dom, but then presses Dom into the air. He comes down into position for the Styles Clash, and AJ wins in 8:54 way. This was his first win on Raw in 2 years. He's back. He's back, and he's jacked.
He's jacked, dude. And he has the reflexes of fucking Super Saiyan level 4 Goku, okay?
Oh, that was my next line here.
Oh my god, like please continue with this, because as maybe the match was fine, everybody, it was like, you know, a good TV match. AJ got a great reception, but the spot of the match was about to come.
Braun Breaker appears from behind AJ, and AJ fucking sidesteps Braun. So Braun spears Dominic, and this was timed exceptionally well. Because usually you do the sidestep, it's like the guy is facing you. This was AJ's back was to Braun Breaker. Gets out of the way. Breaker spears Dominic, and then they both eye the IC belt before Braun grabs it and continuing to push this direction for total nonstop Braun.
So I don't know if you actually know what I was referring to with the spot of the match.
Oh, I was talking about the spear. I don't know,
dude,
what you were talking about.
Did you not see Braun Breaker? He's on the outside. He takes his shirt off.
He throws the shirt.
He throws it at AJ, and AJ, without looking, catches it. Doesn't break his glance at Braun. This was amazing.
He was facing him when he caught this.
Hold on a second. He didn't have to look down. He didn't catch it with the front hand. He caught it with the back hand. Okay. Did not break his gaze.
This wasn't right. He was catching a baseball here as a t-shirt. I mean,
it was cooler than that, John. You're really underselling. Come on. This was the biggest push.
You thought that was more impressive than the guy perfectly sidestepping when his back was towards Braun. Like, that could have just been messed up.
You could rehearse that. You can't rehearse this. There's no way. Okay, between the catch and the throw, this, come on, this is the sort of result of ice bathing for probably 50 hours. Okay,
if you want to isolate 45 seconds to 100 years from now to explain, well, what was the difference between John Pollock and Wei Ting? Listen to the last 45 seconds. Okay, that's the difference between the two of us. And what we were impressed by here.
Maybe what we look for differently.
Maybe that should be the poll. What was more impressive, the sidestep or the t-shirt catch?
Got to be the catch.
He's hitting his prime at 47. I think we can agree on that. And I think this is going to be a hell of a match that he has with Braun Breaker whenever we do this one. More synergy. Julius Creed will be part of Team Cormier on the upcoming season of The Ultimate Fighter that 10 people will be watching. And one of them will be Brutus Creed. The Creeds are then with Ivy.
How's he going to have time to do this?
Because all he has to do is Raw?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's it. He can travel. He just goes to Vegas, and when they need him on Raw, it's not like you have a house show schedule to maintain. This is... Mm-hmm.
And it's the same company over, after all, isn't it?
They're not going to have so much of an issue, with this. It's interesting. Like, Chad Gable is the one who's been written off TV. Cormier should have just hired, all of them. Like, Gable would probably be of great value.
The whole team.
Get an Olympic-level wrestler in there as well to join Daniel Cormier, also an Olympic-level wrestler. I mean, but the history here, like, Julius Creed, Jacob Casper, he prepared Cormier for, it was the second John Jones fight in 2017. So, they had a long-standing relationship here. And let's not forget Michael Chiesa making his Raw debut as well here.
That's
along
correct.
With Bob Cook. So the Creeds are with Ivy Nile laughing about their DQ loss last week where they nailed the War Raiders with the belts. But then Ivy Nile reminds them, we promised Gable we would win all the belts before he returns. And Dakota Kai walks by and she tells Nile that her Cinderella story, Nile tells her that her Cinderella story ends tonight. And Dakota Kai then set a new record, becoming the youngest individual in history to use the term whippersnapper, referring to Ivy Nile ahead of their rematch tonight.
The dialogue in this exchange was like painful. It was awful.
Listen here, whippersnapper.
Like, so bad that I imagine they're just like trying to like take the piss out of this and just like trying to make each other laugh. I don't know, but it was poorly scripted, delivery not that great, but man, even like, I mean, The Rock couldn't have saved something like this. Eddie Murphy couldn't have saved this.
No, he could not have. Ivy Nile and Dakota Kai, number one contenders match. Lyra, the bird, is at ringside, and Nile catches Kai in the air and just dumps her to the floor. And then Nile kicks out the knee of Dakota Kai, And so she works on the good knee of Dakota Kai, not the one that has the knee brace on it. So that was interesting. Mm. We also had a fan that all night long was waiting for the announcement that former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion Tommy Rich was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He had this sign. He was holding it up all night. I know, Wei, you would be all for Tommy Rich going into the Hall of Fame, but did not get that video announcement, at least not on tonight's show. But maybe Tommy Rich will be on some ESPN program and get a surprise run-in from Paul Levesque.
He must be on their radar now because of this fan. Yeah.
Let's run with it. Kai comes back, hits the chiropractor, which obviously is not the name they are going with, because Cole and Pat McAfee are just searching for some kind of description of this particular move. There's a
It could just be that they don't know the name of the move.
They should honestly then have headsets where someone can communicate to them. That'd be a great idea.
No. Maybe
Paul Levesque, who would know what this move is, he could be the one that is the voice in their ear too.
You don't know that he knows it. Yeah, we don't know that anybody knows the name of this move other than
I mean, it's only been
nerds.
Used like a million times for her under his watch.
It could be a better name.
Well, there's a power bomb out of the corner by Nile, rolls to an ankle lock, but Kai gets to the rope. She's working on the knee and the ankle. Kai tries for the GTK, but it's avoided. Back to the ankle lock. Nile sent out to the edge, and then Kai comes down stomping the neck and hits the GTK and wins in 6:45, setting up Valkyria Kai 2.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, a good match here. I felt, you know, little crowd noise, unfortunately, for these two. Nile, I think, is looking good to the point where, like, I'm kind of like, I love the fact that she's incorporating Cable's moves, and I think Kai continues to look very strong. So I'm actually looking forward to her matches now. So now we got Kai versus Lyra, which I think is a great looking match on paper. They had a great match last time around. But honestly, in talking about all three of them, it's more so character connection that's lacking for this entire women's mid card. And they just at this point need more interesting stories. They need to get better as talkers, and they need to have less cringeworthy talking segments like we saw tonight. So again, like it's going to be a great match, but I don't necessarily know if it'll advance any of them beyond what it currently exists.
Well, we will see. Does Dakota Kai assume the role of, or does Lyra Valkyria assume the role of young whippersnapper?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Then they had their face off, and we go to maybe the best segment of the night. All I needed to see was this setup. We are in the concourse area, and it's Gunther. Immediately, I had already scripted this whole segment out in my head, and there was no iteration of this segment that was going to disappoint. Gunther proceeds to walk into the arena because he wants to hear what the Yeet is all about as he enters to boos. And he says he is smarter than all of you. Very simple gesture for you very simple people. Jay is a very simple person, and me performing like you is like Shakespeare, is like reading Shakespeare to a dog. Now, the best part of this was Gunther doing the Yeet as he walked out. This man could not have been better in this segment. He says, you fans...
By the way, that line... I don't know where else it might be from, famously uttered by Zack Sabre Jr. 5 years ago in one of his promos.
I'm sure that is what was the underlying theme here was that you are no Zack Sabre Jr. is what he was trying to convey to Jey Uso and his
fans. No. The Shakespeare talking to it, teaching.
I know that's reading. That's why Gunther used this line. That was the subtext.
Oh, gotcha. That's what you're saying. Okay.
He's going to win at WrestleMania with the Clarky Cat. He says that you fans yeeting have given him a false sense of confidence to challenge him. The match doesn't happen out here, but in that ring, and I outclass Jay in every aspect of this sport. Jay Uso's blood will be on your hands. And then as he makes his way ringside, asks Michael Cole and Pat McAfee for their professional and unbiased opinion if Jay has a chance against him at WrestleMania. And he throws this mic, and it might have hit Pat McAfee right in the balls. And Pat says, beating you at WrestleMania, I hope that Jay beats you. And Gunther is not happy about this. And before he can murder Pat, out comes Jay Uso. as officials are trying to stop him, but he bolts out to the ring. He super kicks security members, and then Gunther tries a sleeper, but he's removed. Fans just go nuts for Jay. Gunther was my favorite part of this whole show.
So great. Yeah, he continues to just never miss in these sort of segments, and they continue to come up with great ideas to place him in, to counter what a Jey Uso is, having him come out to do the arms with that entrance. My favorite part of this entire thing, yes, it was probably the arms, but my second favorite thing about it was when he approached the little kid in the same spot where Jey would usually get the kid to do like the yeet sign as well, and he just told the kid to like, shoo, don't, you know, like, make sure, step away, like, make sure you don't
look
get
at
hurt.
His dad here.
It's the best. Yeah, oh, this guy is so great. And I think more and more it's a huge challenge to try to like keep this hot for 10 weeks, but man, like, at least one weekend I'm still very much into this. We'll see if they have enough material.
Week two? Great. Yeah. Let's see how this goes. Kathy Kelly is with Liv and Raquel and asked them about the footage that has been shown from this anonymous tip. And Liv calls this speculation and it's reckless. Raquel is going to squash Roxanne like a little bug tonight, and they avoid answering if they were responsible for the attack. So Kathy Kelly yells, "So much for giving us nothing." She should go to a WWE press conference.
Sure. Yeah, and to be fair, like, I would say 95% of Kathy Kelly or like any of these backstage interviews result in no new information.
No, we didn't get any leads here. Yep, you got us.
Right, it is strange how they would just like not flat out deny it. I think most of us at this point like believe that they are not the culprits, but the fact that they're being so unwilling to actually like tell you that they're not the ones. I don't know. Interesting.
We follow Jay backstage and he runs into the New Day, and Kofi says that, "I know what you're going through, just like I did with Kofi Mania. And we can't wait to see you lose." Jay says, "There would have been no Kofi Mania if the Usos had not had forfeited, and New Day sucks." So then Jay walks off and Woods spots their pal. He's like, "Oh, hey, Butch, I mean Pete." And Dunn walks up, "What did you call me?" And Dunn says, "Maybe they're right. New Day sucks." So the idea here is that everyone hates the New Day, even the heels. And then we get the camera following Pete Dunn to the ring. Based on that last sentence, you can assume that this entire segment was for those international viewers.
Yeah, because I did not catch it.
Pete Dunne against Penta. They had a nice match here. Dunne stomps the elbow, and then Dunne comes off the shoulders, snapping the fingers, and Ludwig Kaiser walks out as the break begins. Penta hits this flying head scissors, sending Dunne off the turnbuckle, and a Liger bomb is executed out of the corner for a two count. Dunne flips out of the corner, gets caught by the Mexican Destroyer, and then with Dunne on the floor, Penta goes for a dive, but Kaiser distracts him, so Dunne then warns Kaiser to stay out of the match, and Penta runs Dunne into Kaiser, leading to the Penta driver and Penta winning in 10 minutes and 6 seconds. When afterward, Kaiser attacks Penta, Dunne yanks him off, and they start coming to blows as Penta lays out both Dunne and Kaiser with a Topekan Hero.
Decent match, great reactions for Penta. I think he continues to feel like a star. Didn't love the fact that he needed Kaiser's help to beat somebody who's relatively lowly ranked like a Pete Dunne. But I mean, I do understand why they did it, to involve Kaiser to build to what seems like a three-way program.
And then we go to Jey Uso, again backstage with Kathy Kelly, who feels underestimated. "They keep doubting me, but I won the Rumble. I'm going to shock the world again." Week two. That's all for Jey Uso tonight. Bayley is showing at the Celebrity All-Star Game, part of Jerry Rice's team. And then there was a Roxanne Perez package. And again, another commercial break. Vic Joseph, just appearing on all the shows over this last week, interviews Dakota Kai, who hypes up her title match, which will be next Monday on the show.
I thought he did a great job on Friday and Saturday.
He had to do all these different roles. He had to do SmackDown, then, yeah, flips over to NXT Saturday night, then doing interviews here. So, it did a very good job overall.
There was a time where, like, I didn't think that they intended for him to ever move up to the main roster, because he didn't even get these sort of fill-in roles. But now they're, you know, they used him on Friday, and using him even tonight in this sort of capacity, like, is encouraging, you know.
Then we had a War Raiders video package addressing the Creeds. They explained that the Creeds took them to the limit, but you aren't built for war. You guys had your chance and you missed. It's like, oh my God, they're actually going to hold these idiot Creeds to the consequences of getting themselves disqualified. But then they continued. We are still the champions. We've been knocked down before, but we always get back up. It isn't over. And next time, it's war. So it appears the Creeds are going to be gifted a rematch.
All right.
But it'll be war.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really feeling these two so much. Like, in ring, they're fantastic. I think they've been getting really good reactions, actually. But as characters, they've just not been able to find it, in my opinion.
Lost their ROH buddy. Went off to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Roxanne Perez against Raquel Rodriguez in the qualifying match. So Roxanne Perez, like, I won't say she was, like, fully playing babyface, but this was all laid out to be she in the babyface underdog position here. But she was doing, like, some cowardly stuff in the match, but it was, like, it was sort of, like, very divorced from her NXT character.
Yeah, it was interesting booking here for, you know, like, somebody who is supposed to be, I think, a babyface from what we've seen. It'll be interesting to see if in the chamber, like, what type of role she plays. Mm-hmm. But
because here, by the end, like, she gets the big babyface underdog win. Like, it was designed for that reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had a good match. Unfortunately, like, for 14,000 plus, man, they just... There was not a whole lot of heat for this, and there wasn't a whole lot of heat for the main event either, I thought, in this last hour. But I did like this match. You had Raquel just ragdolling her, throwing her all over the place, lawn darts Roxanne into the post. And then finally Roxanne sends Raquel into the corner and chop blocks the knee and is trying to beat her down. Raquel then catches a high cross, hits a fall-away slam, and then the spinning elbow. And Raquel misses Roxanne and, like, spears the post, and she ran so hard into this post, and that sets up a pair of suicide dives from Perez, a tornado DDT, and then a springboard quebrada, which was an awesome sequence. The Pop Rocks gets blocked and is booted by Raquel when Belair and Naomi come down, now matching in matching cheerleader outfits. And
yeah, these were actually references to Bring It On.
Okay, yeah. I guess this is their new look?
Well, for tonight.
Okay. Is there something special about this on this night?
I don't know.
Just for
the night to debut it.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe this is their new look.
It could be. They could just be referencing, like, 2000s movies from this point on.
Okay. They should just go through a whole run of them
sure.
At this point. Yeah. So they come out, and they are going after Liv, and because Raquel gets distracted, it leads to Pop Rocks, and Roxanne Perez qualifies in 7.5 minutes, joining Naomi, Belair, Bliss, Liv Morgan, and Bayley in the Elimination Chamber. It was a good match, just struggled with heat at certain points, but I thought Roxanne looked very good, and I thought that this dynamic worked with Raquel, babyface heel stuff aside for Roxanne, but I really am not too concerned about Roxanne making a really big splash in this transition.
No. Unlike, you know, let's say maybe like a Lyra, maybe even like more so than even a Tiffany Stratton, I see success for Roxanne because I think she's got personality, and in ring she's excellent. And you could tell, like, she can work as a babyface, she can work as a heel. But I thought the booking in this particular evening was pretty interesting, just kind of, you know, given double heel, or at least what we think might be double heel, and you have the biggest and the smallest in the division, but you can see why. You know, I think they just wanted to give you something that was easy to latch onto between somebody big versus somebody small, and giving a big impressive win for Roxanne in her first match officially on Raw, or if this is to be an official call up.
Her size is also going to be more pronounced on the main roster, where it does kind of lean to being that underdog, and that might be like a good role to sort of introduce her as, and she will be the underdog in that chamber match. It's like, I don't think the size is as like inherent in NXT, but it's like you look at a lot of these women and they're going to tower over her now that she's on the main roster, with some exceptions.
Yeah, these sort of NXT to main roster transitions become interesting, because like, if you haven't been watching NXT, is the best way to present Roxanne Perez as a heel to start things off with, or do you want to have the same sort of like arc as maybe you already auditioned in NXT?
I mean, she's a terrific babyface, but she did a really great job as a heel, I think, exceeding a lot of expectations, where she got very comfortable in that role. But for this audience that you're introducing them to, like, they might just, like, she certainly comes out of this as a babyface.
And maybe that would necessitate her in NXT turning back into a babyface on her final night.
You could. You know? You could still wrap up in NXT and you do kind of your send-off match. And if it's with Cora Jade, like, the crowd will turn her. So you could do that.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MCU Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Kathy Kelly catches up with Seth Rollins, who notes WrestleMania is 10 weeks away. And I need this win tonight. This is as big as it gets. Tonight, Charlotte. Qualifier. So yes, folks, just remember, okay? We are going to watch roughly 55 hours of Raw and SmackDown before WrestleMania. Okay?
55. God. So 5 hours a week. Wait a second. It's 6 hours a week now. Well, I guess five.
It's like five and a half.
Five and a half, okay.
So just... Let's remember that when we get to the upteenth face-to-face and contract signing and addendum that we are going to have to stretch out.
It's a long road.
It's 2 months, folks. And then Seth Rollins walks off. He's got to get his match. And then in walk Karrion Kross and Scarlett to address Sami Zayn. Karrion has his doubts that Jey Uso can win at WrestleMania, or Seth winning the Elimination Chamber. Just like Zayn has no chance against Kevin Owens in his current state, he explains that Seth and Jey have lost their minds, but he believes that Sammy knows that there is still time to turn things around. I don't know where this is going, but it's obviously going somewhere.
Mania?
I can't imagine.
Like,
it,
at this point,
this is a weekly, since that first week on Netflix. They have had him attached to Sami Zayn in some form or fashion.
Yeah, man, it's hard for me to think Sami, coming off of like Roger Center, Kevin Owens match, to Karrion Kross. I can't see that, but I mean, I can see Karrion Kross leading him to his next program. And I mean, they are flirting with a Zayn heel turn of sorts. So, what role does Karrion Kross play? I find it intriguing.
They had a great feature on Io Sky here, where she is underwater. But still perfectly understandable, where she was champion going to WrestleMania last year. Now her path is not so clear. This match with Rhea in 2 weeks is all she needs. I respect her, and they mixed in footage of them together in NXT, where Rhea looks like a totally different person. And this is her championship, and she wants it back.
She was EOC tonight.
Isn't...
She's great.
Yeah, maybe she was getting into Democratic politics.
EOC. Very good, yeah. I like this video package a lot. I mean, they made use of their NXT histories together, which is more than fair at this point. And I think in the past, they didn't always, you know? Like, sometimes we'd start guys, like, completely fresh and completely ignore their NXT histories. Like, remember a Max Dupree, okay? Like, you remember that?
Yeah, he's still got a sister on the main roster that we just don't ever acknowledge.
But this was a good video package. It gave a chance for EO to actually practice the English. It's great that we have subtitles now, but I don't think like talent should be entirely reliant on them, because you do want them to have experience cutting promos in English. This was a safe environment where she could pre-record it, have it edited, and still incorporate a bit of Japanese so that you get it to hear what her passionate voice sounds like. And more importantly, it made her look cool as hell, you know, doing all this underwater stuff.
New Day comes out, they're in the ring, and I'm really enjoying these promos where they're so insincere, but they have like the loosest defense of their actions that they continue here, and it's just great. You've got the dynamic of the crowd that just knows like just on cue to boo the New Day. And they show the footage after Raw went off the air of their attack on Ray, Dragon Lee running down and then striking Ray's knee with a chair. So Ray was also an omission from tonight's show. Woods tells Ray, get well soon, and says, Ray, they've done a favor here because Ray sucks the life out of every new luchador that comes to this company. Why do fans put Ray on such a pedestal? Kofi asks. I have more title wins than Ray. I've also been here longer than him. The difference is I never left, because Ray would have technically started earlier, but the man did have his departures in there as well. So kicking us out of the locker room forced our hand to attack him. We showed him mercy. It could have been so much worse. And Woods explains, we could have taken him out back and given him the old Yeller treatment. We could have shot him in the head. But instead, we sent him home to spend time with his wife. And out comes Dragon Lee with Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. And Dragon Lee got to cut one of his first promos ever in WWE, defending Ray and stating New Day sucks. And they charge the ring, outnumbering the New Day, who they send to the floor, and they avoid a dive by running away from the LWO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so much like American Alpha, you know, with the absence of the faction's leader, is allowing guys like Dragon Lee or Ivy Nile to speak a lot more. And I thought Dragon Lee, in whatever limited he had to convey here, did a good enough job. I'm loving the New Day and their heel logic, but I'm loving the tone in which they're conveying it. I mean, we have these sort of templates now in modern day heels of somebody like a Drew McIntyre who, you know, similarly complains about being wronged and them being like the audience being the ones with flawed logic. But the New Day are kind of doing it in a way that's a bit more comedic in tone, and it kind of works for them as a transition from like the comedic types of baby faces that they were. Like I dislike them. I'm not necessarily scared by them, but I'm very entertained by them. You know,
they're doing a great job. Like, certainly I had my questions, like the idea on paper of a New Day heel run, and it's gone very well. And I think that like, it's given them such a new lease on life. It like, this feels like such a new act. It's fresh, and they're basically just doing promos. Like, they've had what, one match I think on Raw during this whole time, and their segments are typically always entertaining, and they'll probably be in line for something of note for Mania with Ray and probably Penta, I would think. Michael Cole warned us that he's going to be on the Impulsive podcast with Logan Paul tomorrow. And 100% we will not be recapping this on Wednesday. So heads up. Next week in Cincinnati, we have...
We can't guarantee that. We don't know what sort of bombshell he might drop on Impulsive.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Maybe Michael Cole is going to be fighting someone.
You think he'll talk about Vince?
I'm sure it'll get brought up in some way, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not. We will see. Next week in Cincinnati, it's the women's IC title match with Lyra and Dakota Kai, and then Belair and Naomi against Liv and Raquel for the tag titles. I don't think inconceivable that they could do the title switch next week.
I guess not. Yeah, you're right.
I see
yeah.
them getting the belts onto Liv and Raquel. It's just a question of when, and perhaps going into the chamber, they have Belair and Naomi that become much more plausible winners in that match without the tag belts, and you can progress this forward.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Kathy Kelly interviews Naomi and Belair and asks, was that the revenge for everything? I was like, dude, this has been 4 months that we've been waiting for this. You think that run-in was the end of this? They will treat Elimination Chamber like a handicap match until it comes down to the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Treat it like a handicap match. So I guess they will work together until they're the last two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it is time for Seth Rollins and Finn Balor in our final qualifier and the final half hour of this show, pretty much. Balor comes out right away, hitting a pedigree, and Rollins kicks out. And then after missing the coup de grace, Rollins fires back, and eventually Rollins drop kicks Balor's knee, and this cuts off Finn. And then Finn gets a hold of Rollins and attacks the ribs. And Rollins lifts and dumps Balor knee first onto the desk, tries for a stomp onto the steps, and the leg gets pulled out from under him, and he continues to sell the ribs. And then at one point, they're just like working in the middle of the ring. There's like a rest hold spot, and everyone's got their phones out, like this is a Wyatt's entrance. And then
because the lights are out for some reason, like the lights in the audience seem to be out, which I don't think is usually the case.
Okay.
Don't know what happened there.
Yeah, it was a weird deal. And then they just started humming Rollins' theme. Rollins hits a cabrata during the comeback onto his bad ribs, and then the buckle bomb is hit onto Balor. He climbs to the top, grabs his ribs, might have broken ribs, but he's like, yeah, that frog splash, it's just worth the risk. But then Balor gets the knees up, hits a sling blade, shotgun gets caught, and then Rollins applies the sharpshooter, and this livened up the crowd. We recognize that move. And then he lets go of it, releases it to go for a pedigree, and we get one, two, and dude, Balor's shoulder is not coming up. Mm-mm. And Rob Zapata has to pretty much hold up. And this crowd all gets on, ref, you suck. Rollins gives Zapata a crotch chop. I'm like, dude, I rewatched this. It was like Balor was way late here. Oh, and man, what was Rob Zapata? I guess he could have just counted a shoot three here. It wouldn't have messed up the winner. But like, they had 5 minutes to go here. And it was like, this did not feel like this was Rob Zapata's fault. But the crowd just let him have it here, as did Rollins.
I mean, yeah, it was certainly Balor's fault. But and story, like, I mean, they're not going to, you know, yell you fucked up at Balor. It's a referee type of spot, isn't it?
Well, it was just weird because instead of just continuing, it was like Rollins stopped. It was like they just forced all this attention onto this, and Pat's at it like, what happened?
I think Rollins is trying to acknowledge that a mistake was made and trying to satisfy the crowd. You know?
Well, with that, we got a couple more minutes of the match. Balor blocked a superplex, hits the coup de grace, which was set up all match long with the attack on the ribs. So the coup de grace hits, but Rollins kicks out, applies a crossface, and then rolls out of it to hit the stomp, and he wins in 18 minutes and 47 seconds and joins the chamber match.
I mean, I thought a very good match with that lone blemish with the late kick out aside. Like you mentioned, maybe the card was starting to feel a little bit tired, but certainly that like bad kick out kind of livened them up, actually. You know,
like these Jenny, guys are master psychologists.
Yeah, Jenny Ref, you suck. Definitely livened them up. You had a bad stomach versus a bad knee, and yeah, overall a well, as expected, a very well told story between the two, and a very stacked Elimination Chamber match. So we got Priest, Logan Paul, John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins.
Yes, so there you go. The men's and women's chamber matches are set. You've got the Owen Zayn match, and we will see what rounds out this card for March the 1st in Toronto. Some highlights of the show. I really enjoyed the Gunther Jey stuff on this show. I thought that was very strong. I liked Roxanne Perez's performance. I didn't think the crowd was all that lively for a lot of this last hour of the show. And some of it, I would say some of this Raw, it kind of felt like a bit of a ho-hum show in several respects. But the key stuff was, you know, your qualifiers for the chamber match and moving forward towards that show.
Yeah. And like, there's a sense of building on the show, in my opinion. Like, they're trying to get AJ and Braun up to speed. They're trying to give chances for people like an Ivy Nile to talk a lot more. What is it? Dragon Lee, you know, getting to talk a little bit more. What are the other programs we got? You know, Kaiser and who am I thinking of? Penta.
Pete Dunne.
He spoke on the international version. Okay, he didn't get airtime on the proper version.
Yeah, he got a big segment with the New Day that we got to see outside of the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I continue to think that like Raw is a good show in that I can digest it, especially when cutting through the commercials in 2 hours.
I think it needs an extra 30 minutes myself.
Well,
nice even 180 minutes. Mm-hmm, could have used another half hour of Raw tonight. Well, let's see what your thoughts were, but we are going to say goodbye to those on the YouTube channel. Again, we are going to be back later this week. If you want to catch us, postwrestlingcafe.com is where you can get the XL editions of the show that include the news of the day, as well as the Q&A feedback portion at the end. And later on this week, we have Rewind Away covering NXT TakeOver New Orleans. That's going to be dropping on Thursday, and we'll also have coming out on Tuesday a pair of shows, including MCU Later's review of Captain America 4 and our Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary special review coming out with myself, Braden Harrington, and Jordan Goodman. So those are just some of the things you can catch at postwrestlingcafe.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.